Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
I'm nationwide. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And you're going to be glad you're with me because we got our good buddy John Fox back on the show. John O. Fox is the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, also 10 Tax Questions, 10 Questions the Candidates Don't Want you to ask them about taxes. And John spent his career as a tax attorney. He's now primarily the cool professor up at Mount Holyoke College in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And more importantly, he is a founding member of our Brain Trust all the way back to 98. John Fox, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, thank you, and it's an honor to be part of that trust. That's a heck of a trust that you have.
Well, I appreciate it, and you helped me found it all the way back in 98, and we just had Wally Bach on, who was with me in 97.
Is that right?
So we're glad you're here, John. You and I have had some great conversations over the years on a number of issues, including tax policy, and I'm curious to know what your thoughts are right now. You know, we've got the 01 and 03 tax cuts that were given to us by the government, bless their hearts, back in those days, but not without having them sunset at some future date, which I always thought showed a complete lack of pride, a complete lack of shame to create tax cuts. I mean, I've never heard any of them raise taxes and put a sunset on a tax increase, but the tax decrease, they put a sunset on it. And guess what? Those chickens are coming home to roost at the end of this year. John, what do you think?
Well, you know, they had to do that because of a technical rule in the Senate about creating losses, deficits over more than 10 years.
Yeah.
But in terms of tax policy, it was awful to do all this and then have it suddenly end. Well, this is the great debate. You know, what do you do about this enormous amount of future deficits? I mean,
yeah.
Enormous deficits. And we're in an economy that, you know, is extremely rough, and we're not through this recession at all. So, and I think what's curious, I'll tell you what I think, but I think what's curious is somebody like Alan Greenspan, who we know is a pretty rough conservative guy.
Yeah.
He's for allowing them to expire. He says that he is more worried about the deficits over the long term and the potential of interest rates rising and choking off capital investment.
Right.
He says let them all expire and go back to the old rate. So that's interesting because...
Well, another thing that's interesting is Bruce Bartlett, who is one of Reagan's advisors, part of the Reaganomics team, he says the same thing basically.
Well, let me tell you what.
But here's why he says it, and I suspect Greenspan is the same thing. Says the same thing. They're pragmatic about the fact that we're not going to get the Congress to stop spending money.
Bruce says
we've got to deal with the deficits, but the only way he can see to do that is to tax people because he says we don't have the discipline to stop spending. Well, let me tell you something. If you can't stop spending and you can't stop raising taxes, then basically you've got Europe.
Yeah, and you just default. I mean, it's Congress defaulting. So
yeah.
I'll tell you what I like, and I'm going to call upon somebody who made this proposal recently that I often disagree with, Martin Feldstein.
Right.
Feldstein, who you know is the distinguished professor, conservative professor at Harvard, former advisor to Reagan, he said what is exactly right. He said instead of talking about increasing tax rates, what you want to do is to absolutely go after all the tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
He said in this year alone, the government's going to give up over $1 trillion because of all those tax breaks, most of which don't make any sense.
Right.
He said most of government non-defense.
Sounds like to me he's been quoting John Fox.
Well, it's what I've been arguing.
Because
you've been
saying this for 12 years on my show.
Exactly. What he's saying, and I think it's absolutely right, is the best way to attack government spending, because it's government spending through tax breaks. In other words, I mean, we could have done the clunkers, the cash for clunkers car thing, which were the government gave up about $4.5 billion and sent you a check for, you know, $1,000, $2,000. You could have done it through a tax credit. I mean, it's exactly the same thing. Government has less money, you have more.
Right.
If we go after tax breaks, and we just said this coming year, not now, I don't want to do it, I want to give us another year, but after that, we're going to reduce all tax breaks by 10%, we save $100 billion.
Hold on to that thought. I'm going to get you to enumerate what those credits are, and we'll see if we agree as they hit us. I'm also going to talk to John about the poll results of on our website so far on whether the government should extend the credits or not, the tax cuts or not. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back with John Fox.
You're not quite mine. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back, 17 Till. We're celebrating the 12th anniversary of John Fox's membership in our Brain Trust. That makes him a founding member of our Brain Trust. John, happy anniversary, baby.
Well, thank you. It's a great honor, as I said before, and I can't believe it's been 12 years.
I know. It's time flies when you're having fun. Thank you for being here. John's a great friend of ours, folks, and he's deposited so much information on our website with us over the years on the show and in other things that he's written. We've got quite a bit of that at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out there and see all the other things that are available there. John, talking about the website, we do a poll question on our homepage every year, every week. And this week's poll question, it's just coincidental that it's up there with you being here this week. When I came up with the question, I was not thinking about the connection. But we asked the audience, and I'll just read the question, folks, and you'll see what we're talking about. The question is, here's the point. At the end of 2010, the tax cuts that went into effect in 2001 and 2003 will expire. The government is faced with a budget deficit, but also an economy that needs to be revived. So, what do you think the government should do? A, allow the tax cuts to expire, raising revenues to address the budget deficits. That's what you were talking about. And then two, B, renew the tax cuts so businesses will take risks, invest, and hire. So what do you think my audience said that they thought the government should do?
Well, you have a business audience. I would think number two.
Yeah, and by 8-2,
yeah,
80% say that the government should extend the tax cuts.
Let me get back to this theme that I wanted to address, because I think it addresses what liberals and conservatives both want. But you have to work your way through it. If you want to attack big government, your former, the person who was on the show before talked about ruthless focus.
Yep.
If you really want to attack big government, you've got to attack tax breaks. And if you want to make sense of the income tax, you've got to attack tax breaks, because if you do, you can bring down tax rates for everybody.
One of the tax breaks that you've been fighting all these years has been unlimited deductions on second homes.
Yeah, and you know, this year alone, according to the government, the people who are going to benefit from the tax break for home mortgage interest, for first homes, second homes, home equity loans, they're going to save over $103 billion in just 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence is that, number one, it doesn't really add to the number of homeowners. It increases the size of the homes that people buy. And every serious economist that I've read on the left and on the right says that we should slash the home mortgage interest deduction.
But now you actually have proposed, if I'm not mistaken, John, that we also cut it on the primary home.
Yes, I mean, in other words, I wouldn't do it.
You don't like it for anything.
And neither does President Bush's advisory committee. In other words, you're not going to do it overnight. I'm not going to send us, you know, off the cliff. But I want to talk about the long-term strategy. Stop the short-term strategy. Over the long term, if we can reduce the subsidies that we give for health insurance, for home ownership, for all of the things that we do in the tax laws. We can bring tax rates way, way down
but
for everybody.
But shouldn't there be a deduction for a basic amount for a home up to say $150,000 or something like that to help people stop renting and get into homes?
It should be a credit and not a deduction.
Oh, okay. I like that idea.
You know, a deduction saves the most money for people in the highest brackets who are not the people who need the help.
Right.
And so I would give credits, but focus it, because if you can help more people who can afford homes become homeowners, that's good for them. It's good for the neighborhoods. It's good for
that
the
is,
economy.
That is one way to change the disparity in tax breaks among the rich and the poor, isn't it?
Absolutely. And and the fact is that I would bring tax rates down at the high end of the spectrum. So they don't have to be 35%,
right,
let alone 39.6. We can get down to top rates. You know, in the Reagan period, it was 28%.
So you're saying use tax credits for home for primary home assistance, but nothing on the secondary home and nothing above a certain amount.
If you want to buy a second home, you know, do it. If you want to buy expensive health insurance, do it. But don't ask the government to subsidize it,
yeah.
And don't do it through the tax laws, because that drives up every... I mean, this is a very simple proposition that all of your listeners will get.
Why is this not... See, this is, to me, the reason why this doesn't work is it's not as manipulative as what we have, and we all know that the government likes to manipulate us.
Well, it's the way you run, you know, an election. If you run for Congress, you run for the presidency, you've got to promise people a tax break.
But, John, no politician I've ever heard runs on your platform.
Well, you know, I was just reading in the New York Times, one of your favorite papers this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that Paul Ryan, you know, a really thoughtful Republican in Congress, is proposing exactly what I'm saying.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
You know, so there, so
he's
that
a,
there,
he's a smart guy like you.
He's a smart guy, but he's looking at the reality, not at the political reality.
Right.
So the political reality has to be that Americans understand that as you shrink the amount of income that can be subject to tax, you've got to have much higher tax rates to raise the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple proposition. So how about expanding the amount of income and bringing the rates way down so you don't worry about the tax?
Well, we've got to have more appropriate tax policy for the current circumstances we have. We've got to be able to collect enough revenue to run the government, but we've also got to address spending, John, and that's where all three of those things require leadership, and so far, for a long time now, Republicans and Democrats have lacked that leadership.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to get you to address that when we come back after these messages.
Okay.
10 till, right, buddy, John Fox. John O. Fox, the book is called If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, and it's in plain English, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. Welcome back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. John Fox is our guest. John O. Fox is the author of 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. And I suspect, John, those questions are still pretty valid. Also, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, his treatise on tax policy that I encourage you to check out wherever books are sold. It's still valid. It's still very important. It'll help you make better decisions when you vote for candidates, when you talk to them and ask them questions. John, I know they're available wherever books are sold. Anywhere else you'd like to tell us to go?
Well, you know, if they go to 10, the number 10, 10taxquestions.com, they'll see all the tax questions that I posed in 2008. They can print them out for free.
Right.
And they can read about other things that I write.
Can they find
about
that. And your other website is johnofox.com?
Yeah, but in order to buy the book, just go on Amazon, and they can buy the book for a few bucks, because it's all discounted now.
Yeah, so check it out, folks. John, talk to us about one of the things I know that you when we went to the break, I was saying that we don't have a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. We've got a problem with a lack of leadership in our political class, and they've contributed mightily to getting us into these problems, and they don't have the guts to help us get out of them. And I'll tell you something, John, that's the biggest crisis America has today.
Well, it's inexcusable that we still have Social Security and Medicare without the modifications that are needed in order to put them on track to be really self-sustaining.
They keep kicking the can down the road, don't they?
Well, they want to form another commission, right? You need another commission to examine this. So you don't need another commission. Everybody knows that you can gradually curtail Social Security benefits for people at the higher end. You can gradually, you know, reduce Medicare benefits for people at the higher end. And they can live with it. We can live with it. I get Medicare prescription drug coverage, and nobody should be paying for my prescription drug coverage. I can afford my prescription drugs. And yet they passed a legislation that costs, you know, enormous, hundreds of billions of dollars a year without funding it. So we've got to be able, particularly people who have, you know, decent incomes, have to be willing to say, I'm willing to give up a little something in order
John, they won't even do their own job. I mean, how little discipline do you have to not even do your job? I mean, look at how many times we don't even have a budget at the end of the year. Look at how many times we get to the end of the year and the appropriations bills haven't been finished.
Well,
I mean,
we need to
tie their pay to performance.
I know it. Well, we fought the Iraqi war without ever having an Iraqi war budget.
Yeah.
You know, it was always an emergency thing. So I agree, and I don't know how
if you or I ran our businesses the way they run the government, one or both of two things would happen. We'd be fired, and we'd be put in jail.
Yeah, well, I know. It'd be fun to be with you in jail, though. I wouldn't mind.
I don't want to be with anybody in jail. But seriously, they do things up there that any of us would be fired and put in jail for.
Yeah, now I want them to come up with a budget that says, because I'm less interested in the next year, I'm much more interested in their saying,
right.
This is our long-term strategy. Every business wants to know the long-term tax
That's the reason why people aren't hiring right now, John, is they don't know what their margins need to be next year.
Exactly, and so let's get the best brains. The best brains have already spoken. The Bush people, the best brains in the Obama administration, they know what to do. They know that our economic system, our businesses will function much better if we have lower tax rates and fewer tax breaks.
Right.
The tax breaks simply don't make a lot of sense.
So you
most
like
of them.
You like the tax breaks, but you don't like the lower taxes without reducing the tax cut. I mean,
you've got to pay for them in some way, and they more than pay. If you can reduce tax rates significantly, you're going to encourage economic growth. You're going to encourage people to invest for economic reasons and not for tax avoidance reasons. That has to be the long-term strategy. So to look really critically at every tax break and say, why is it there? What does it cost? Who benefits from it?
John, do you think Americans are ready for some tough love on tax policy?
I do, and I think if people talk sense instead of nonsense to them about it, and I'm giving talks now. I mean, I'm not going to be the one who does it, but I tell them I've got a talk which says five different things that you need to know in order to understand sensible tax policy.
Now, are you publishing that?
I haven't yet.
Well, you need to. We want that when you do. And you
but
need
I,
to,
I trust Americans to be able to make sense. I mean, Americans have a lot of good common sense.
We need better options, John.
We do. I do.
We need better options of people to vote for. And, John, I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
As always, John Fox, ladies and gentlemen, a great American, and we're glad to have him as a member of our Brain Trust now 12 years, celebrating his 12th anniversary today. So we're very happy about that. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.